Hello and welcome to this edition of Passionate About People. My name is Phil Dave. I'm a broadcaster who works in numerous subjects, including men's mental health and well-being and technology, amongst others.
Hi, and I'm Graham Godfrey from Passionate About Business and soon to launch the Positive Mindset Experience.
Excellent stuff. And in this episode, Graham and I are joined by Barry Jacobs, who's director and co-founder of Sanegon.
Hi, good afternoon. Real pleasure to be here, guys.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on. And I suppose that the absolute first thing we must establish, Barry, and you must forgive us for not necessarily knowing the answer to this already, but what is Sanegon?
Sanegon is an antibacterial and antiviral product which comes out in a disbursement that releases the whole of its contents into the room, covers an area 100 metres cubed, and is guaranteed to kill 99.99% of all enveloped coronaviruses, together with so many other viruses as well. And this is backed by three British standards.
You have to help me out with something here, because I can't understand how immeasurably frustrating the war on bacteria and viruses must be, that knowing we are so near yet so far, 99.9% of known viruses and bacteria is so impressive, and yet there is 0.01% that still evades us. How come?
There's always room for improvement, but 99.99% is obviously phenomenally high, just like the vaccine. It only covers, I believe, up to 80%. I think we're doing well at 99.99%.
Listen, Phil, you know, what is 0.01% between friends? I mean, let's be honest. Now, Barry, we've known each other a long time. This Sanegon has come about through the pandemic, I'm assuming. But where did it all start? I'm interested to know where it all started and what you've been doing in business and how you've grown, because I know you've had a hardworking journey, to say the least.
It's actually a very, very interesting story, because one thing that I do is I'm a hard grafter, a hard worker, and I've been told that I'm very entrepreneurial. And what happened was, I worked for an organization for the past 14 years and I was employed by them. I was put on furlough and I actually caught COVID as well. Not that bad. I was just in bed for 14 days. And I thought to myself, I'm not just going to sit here twiddling my thumbs. I need to do something. I want to give back. And I did some research and come up with these products. And then I discussed it with my business partner, who happens to be my sister. And we came up with the brand Sanegon. And it just started from there with one product, which was a total release product, and just pushed and pushed and pushed through all my contacts and eventually struck gold on certain sectors.
But now, obviously, I don't mean to knock the incredible achievement that you've made to date, but I'm just wondering what sort of research one has to put together in order to launch such a product. Because I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, I don't even know where to start if I wanted to launch something like Sanegon. So where did you begin, if you're prepared to give away trade secrets?
Yeah, so all of my products are manufactured in the UK. So I approached various different manufacturers and said, is there something we can do? Because coronavirus is not a new virus. It's been around for years. And COVID-19 is just an enveloped coronavirus. There's about 14,000 variants. We had discussions. This is what we came up with. And we had all the microbiological reports done. Hence why I've got three British standards, all being fully tested. And came up with the first product.
You've been working where you've been working for 14 years. You're in bed for 14 days. Maybe that number 14 is a coincidence.
And does that mean we only need to record 14 minutes?
Yeah. Wow, it is 14 minutes, isn't it? That's incredible. Anyway, how do you, what state of mind are you in? You're in bed, you've been furloughed. None of us even knew what furlough was at the time, what it meant. How does this thing envelop? How does it grow within your mind? And what were the barriers that you faced or the fears that you had to overcome?
It's a very good question, Graham. I am phenomenally passionate about whatever I do, determined, and the way some people describe me is like sheer tenacity. And I knew that there was this problem of hygiene. I knew that there was this obviously problem, as the whole world did, of COVID. And I wanted to capitalize on that and help as many people as possible. And it was such a steep learning curve because my background has always been sales, but I had to get involved in branding. We came up with the name Sanigon because the catchphrase is Sanigon, sanitize, and it's gone. All the typeface, the website, everything came up from scratch. So it probably took a few months to get going, but once we got going, it was like a snowball effect.
See, I like the use of that word tenacity there, because I think that that is something, from having just met you, Barry, not long before this, from knowing Graham from doing several of these podcasts with him and even meeting him before, I'd say one thing that we all have in common is grit and determination. If we set our minds to something, we're going to make it happen. It's as simple as that. And I feel like that is the key to an awful lot of success in life. If one is determined enough, then one can make almost anything happen.
There's actually three initials that I live by, which is PMA, positive mental attitude. I cannot tell you in my lifetime, and even in the short time that Sanigon has been around, how many knocks, how many kickbacks I've had. It's like I'm a weeble. You get knocked down, but you roll back up. So it's just having the belief and the strength and the tenacity to keep going.
And there was another word in there, passion, which is why this is called Passionate About People. I think when you absolutely love something, when you love doing something, or there's a challenge ahead of you that you relish, it's actually not light work. And it does take hours and hours and hours. We don't realize how long and how detailed these projects are. You know, I've been looking at your website, Barry, and it's a really well-designed website. And, it's very, very easy to buy the products on there. What is it, do you think, about sales that you've loved so much? Because obviously, I've been in selling for years and there's a buzz, but what is it about sales that sort of floats your boat?
Well, to me, sales is like a drug. If I am on such a high when I'm selling, and I don't even necessarily have to be selling a product or a service, I believe it's myself that I'm selling, because people buy from people, because there are competitors in the market that do similar products to what Sanigon does. But I believe that the person really counts, number one. Number two, I know it sounds like a cliche, but customer service. I actually had a client that was in Nottingham and my delivery company let me down. And he was actually jumping up and down at me on the phone. And I said, Dave, you've got nothing to worry about. You're going to receive it. He said, what are you talking about? I'm not going to receive it. You just told me you've been let down. I said, no problem. I'm getting in my car tonight and I'm going to drive to Nottingham and I'm going to deliver it. And he said to me, Barry, I'm blown away. I never thought you would say that in a million years. So in business and in life, problems happen. You expect them to happen, but it's how you resolve them that matters.
How did he react when you invoiced him for the petrol?
I think this is something I talk about a lot, but when a problem appears and we look at it as a problem, obviously you don't, they're really opportunities. And I found in business over many years that where there's been a problem, the opportunity has been, when you deal with a client and you do what you did, Barry, is you turn a satisfied client into a loyal client. You turn that person into somebody that really understands that you care about their needs. And it's not just about business. And it's not just about a delivery. And you're right. It's about people. And all of these problems that we face, when we look at them, you'll find a lot of people, when they start a sentence, they'll say, the problem is, but what they fail to understand that's the opportunity. They should be saying the opportunity is, because that's where all the best business comes from.
I totally agree. And it's actually quite easy to win a customer, but it's to keep that customer time and time again and repeat business. And I've actually won quite some large business away from some of our key competitors, simply because I keep my eye on the ball, I make sure I keep it personable, and just win the business. Just to give you a tiny example, we are on all social media, so we're on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, etc., etc. And I noticed that there was a company on there that had a big delivery truck, and they started following us. I contacted them on LinkedIn, a direct message, and I said, thank you for liking our posts. How are you? Question. And they came back, yeah, business is good. I said, would you like some information on our range? And they said, please email directly our managing director. And I emailed the managing director, and it just so happened that our competitor's customer service wasn't up to his standards, and I won the business away from them just from a conversation on Instagram. So in all honesty, I blew myself away with how powerful social media actually is.
Well, social media indeed, but actually don't underestimate, social media was technically just the caveat, in exactly the same way that you could have used a mobile phone if you knew the number, exactly the same way you could have sent a letter if you knew the address. The point is, I think it is how you actually treat an individual. And I would suggest that we actually live in a day and age where it couldn't be easier to provide good customer service and stand out a mile for it, because let's be honest, so many businesses have got the most shocking reputation at the moment for the way they just don't really care about customer service. So frankly, I think that sort of as long as you're polite and treat someone how you'd expect to be treated, you're already halfway there.
It's interesting, Phil, that recently I bought some socks, actually, and they were too small. I bought the wrong size. And I called the company. I'd emailed the company and obviously didn't get a reply. I called the company and they called me back. And I was so excited. I was so excited that somebody actually called me back. And in our businesses, you know, in my business, I'm always calling people back. It's the one thing that you do. So I think a lot of this, as companies grow, we've reduced our standards, and to get someone just to call you back, it's an amazing thing.
It goes back to being personable. You want to be called a name, not a number. And there's another expression that I use: the little difference makes the big difference. And it's so true.
I love that. It works in so many different areas. You only sometimes need a tiny breakthrough can make the big difference. Something I'm interested to know, Barry, you set up a company, you're obviously doing really well with it and you're pushing through. How do you think COVID has become your biggest opportunity? Because obviously we've looked at it and there's so many negatives with COVID, but if COVID hadn't have happened, what would have happened to you? Would you be doing this or would you be doing something else?
There's two ways I'd like to respond to that. Way number one, if it wasn't for COVID, I wouldn't have this business. And way number two, I was so grateful after a period of time, and I'll explain what I mean, for being furloughed. When I was initially furloughed, I was actually quite angry because I produced a lot of business for that company. And I just couldn't understand why I was being furloughed. And in my own mindset, I had to give myself a talking to, and I had to turn a negative into a positive. So the positive was I was able to have time to start my own business. And what both myself and my business partner both were very, very conscious about, although our products are very relevant for the moment, i.e. protect against COVID, etc., we wanted to have a range that had longevity and shelf life as well.
I was interested actually to see, Barry, on your website that you do sanitization for pets. But what's all that about?
Do you know what? Again, I can't take the credit for that. That was Suzanne, my sister, that came up with that idea because two reasons. First of all, we wanted to differentiate ourselves from competition. And reason number two, over 1.5 million dogs were bought over lockdown. And anyone who owns a dog or a pet is part of a family. So we come up with this range to protect not only the family, but also the extended family being the dogs as well. And it was in fact that range that got us into the UAE. We are now on the supermarket shelves of a supermarket called Spinneys, which is part of Waitrose.
Do you know, it was something actually you said just now, though, about turning a negative into a positive. And that was almost a throwaway comment. Now, I don't know about you gents, but I personally find that that is not necessarily something that everyone can do. And even if they can, they can't always see the positive situation in a negative one. I think it's a bit different with something like COVID because it's such a massive event that's affected all of us. But when you actually sort of look at, say, maybe on a smaller level, a smaller scale, so something that could be deemed as a negative, actually turning that into something positive, it can be quite tricky.
You're talking my language now. Is that we think that something's either positive or negative. Doesn't have to be positive or negative. It can be somewhere in between, but we seem to work on extremes. And what we tend to do is we default to the negative. So we tend to look at the worst possible scenario rather than the best possible scenario. But what if what we thought was negative isn't negative? What if we've been taught that it is, but what if it actually isn't? That's my first point, because if it actually isn't and it is an opportunity and something good can come from it, then maybe we're reading the situation wrongly. The second thing is there's a very old saying. It goes back donkey's years and it says good comes from bad. Good comes from bad. We all know it. We all know that saying. So when something that we think is bad happening, there's two ways we can think of it. Either, oh, this is just the worst thing ever. I just can't believe this is happening. Why is this happening to me? That's one viewpoint. And the other viewpoint is, maybe something good is lurking around the corner. Maybe something good is about to happen. And that changes the mindset.
I didn't realize that I was doing it. And you quite right. Some people aren't like this. And I didn't realize I was like this. But I am a very, very optimistic person. Plus, I am the one that critiques myself. I want to be the best in what I do. And there is no harder critique than myself. I just push and push and push until I get where I want to be. So what I want to do is I actually like to help people as much as possible, turn those negatives into positives, wherever they may be in their life.
Do you ever think, though, that you were saying about being your own worst critic? Because I'm with you all the way, and Graham, I know that you're very similar on that front as well. And I believe that most people are, to be fair. I think that's sort of quite a common trait, that everyone will sort of be, well, the person who judges themselves the harshest, really. Because I think we've all got in our minds a vision of maybe something we want to do or where we want to be with something. And if we don't meet that expectation that we've set ourselves, well, then obviously we're going to be disappointed by it and be harsh on ourselves for it. But I wonder whether or not actually sometimes that can also work against. We were talking before about passion and tenacity and being determined enough to make something happen. Maybe there's such a thing as going too far with it.
That's a really good point, Phil. Firstly, I just wanted to say I'm really enjoying this conversation and I really love having conversations with Barry because he's so positive.
Go home now, shall I?
And you, Phil, and you know I love you. You know that to be true. I tell you what I've learned over many years, it probably took me 20 years to learn this, is that sometimes being your own critic, it is a good thing, but you need to enjoy the journey. The journey is so important, to enjoy the journey. And sometimes we need to give ourselves a pat on the back. So although we judge ourselves and we're pushing, we want things to happen, sometimes things happen in their own time. And it doesn't matter how hard we push, they happen when they happen. But look, we know you're Mr. Positive. Maybe you should get that as a domain name and stick it on your website. What are your plans for the future? You know, where do you think you want to take this? And how are you going to enjoy the journey?
I enjoy every day, number one, even if there's negatives, because you learn from them. Where are we going to take it? As I said, as of the 27th of this month, that goes on the shelves in the UAE. Once it's on in that particular supermarket called Spinneys, then we have the opportunity to push it out to other supermarkets in the UAE. And the world's the limit, really, because it can just get pushed anywhere. I can turn the brand name into more or less any type of cleaning product. So I'm taking each stage at a time, slowly catch a monkey. The company is literally just over a year old, and what we've achieved in a year is, I didn't think we'd be where we are today.
And tell me, Barry, what's the difference? What's the main difference to you between being an employee of a company where you get a salary and maybe commission in sales, and being a business owner and founder? What's the key differences for you?
The key differences are obviously you make the decisions and you live or die by those decisions, and you can basically do whatever you want, and you're not answerable to anyone, and you reap the rewards. But on the other hand, if you mess up, you go the other way. So it's being accountable to yourself.
What is the ultimate goal? What would you do? Let's put it this way. How will you know when you've achieved what you want to achieve, or have you already passed that point?
No, not already passed it. It's a very, very good question. In all honesty, don't know at this stage. I know, again, it sounds quite cliche, but it would be nice to get a knock on the door from a huge company, I don't know, Unilever or somewhere like that, and say, by the way, we'd like to buy you. Here's a figure. That would be a beautiful dream to have, and a lovely reality to fulfill.
Okay, so Mr. Unilever, if you're listening to this podcast, then stick that one in your back pocket for the future. Very, very excited to see where things go, Barry. I think you've got all of the ingredients that somebody needs to grow a business. I think you've done remarkably well so far. I really do. It's quite incredible.
Thank you. But I would just like to say, none of this would be possible without my business partner and sister, because I drive the business forward. I get the leads. I convert the leads. But she is the backbone and deals with all the finances and everything like that, and the invoicing. So we work very, very well together.
And that in itself, if you don't mind me saying, speaking as someone who has a sister as well, and I could never in a million years imagine going to lunch with her, never mind starting a business with her. So I might congratulate you on that front. But just finally, I would say that if anyone wants any more information about Sanigon, where do they go and where can they find everything there is to know about you?
We're on social media, so may it be Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. My website is Sanigon, which is sanigone.co.uk. And if someone wants to drop me an email, my email address is Barry, spelled BARRIE, at sanigon.co.uk.
You can tell Barry's done that a few times, can't you? Must have said that a thousand. You must have done that a thousand times. Phil.
Well, if for whatever ridiculous reason you'd like to get in touch with me, you'll find me across social media at Mr. Phil Dave is probably the best thing to do. And Graham.
And if you want to contact me, you can listen to my radio show on a Monday night from 9 to 11 p.m. on secondcityradio.net. I've got to throw that one in because it's a great show. It's got the feel-good factor. Alternatively, you can email me at gg@passionateaboutbusiness.co.uk. It's the same website address. If you want to know anything about what I do, just jump on the website and you'll find out everything about me.
Barry, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure and an honour speaking to you guys as well.
Barry Jacobs, director and co-founder of Sanagon. Thank you so much for speaking to Graham Godfrey and me on this edition of Passionate About People. And please do remember to subscribe to this show in your podcast application. Until we meet again, farewell.